In honor of Women's History Month, we are so fortunate to have Lacey Garcia, founder of Willow, join us to discuss how women and the next generation of clients are influencing advisory relationships. Willow is an award-winning wealth tech platform powering advisors' acquisition, growth, and retention of tomorrow's investors, women, the next gen, and underrepresented groups. Through Willow's certification programs and client acquisition platform, advisors gain knowledge, credentials, and exclusive one-to-one-to-one matches to prospective clients. Lacey and Willow are frequently featured in the media, including The Today Show, Think Advisor, Financial Planning, Business Insider, WealthManagement.com, Yahoo Finance, and Go Banking Rates. Unfortunately, John couldn't join us today, but we'll proceed without him. And without any further ado, we'll dive in with Lacey.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Julie.
We're the hosts of the Hartford Funds Human-Centric Investing Podcast.
Every other week, we're talking with inspiring thought leaders to hear their best ideas for how you can transform your relationships with your clients.
Let's go.
Lacey, thank you so much for joining us today on the Human-Centric Investing Podcast.
Julie, thank you so much for having me. Really honored to be here.
Well, in honor of Women's History Month, I think it is so timely to talk about growing tomorrow's clients and really thinking about women and the next generation. And I would love to hear more about Willow and your thought process around how you started your company. Will you share that with us today?
Julie, definitely. So Willow or TrustWillow.com is a advisor, education, marketing, and client acquisition platform that is focused on helping advisors to acquire and to grow trusted relationships with women and the next generation of clients. And really, we originally created Willow now a few years ago. I am a former financial advisor, as is one of my co-founders. The other one actually was the head of data science for PayPal. We came together around this concept, which was a deeply personal one to me at the time, given my background, not only as a female financial advisor, but actually as a woman who had started my adult life as the non-financial spouse, had never anticipated being being sort of in charge of my finances or ever having to be that, never expected that I would be the not only the main breadwinner, but the sole provider, then became a divorced single mom. And I had my own kind of very difficult journey that so many women, millions of women across the country experience when they are not prepared for life changes that have massive financial implications. So therefore, you know, the concept with Willow was really kind of first looking at divorced women and widowed women. And my mother, who is also sort of a non-financial spouse, and I actually just, I have dedicated this Women's History Month to my mother, who just passed actually quite recently, but was a force of nature and this amazing woman. But she also was like, you have to do this because what would I do if your father passed away? Like, what would I do? I would have no idea. I have no idea what the names of any of these really nice financial people are. Like, how would I even know where to start, you know? And I think the concept with Willow was on helping not only women really, but anyone really to be able to stand tall against the changing winds and these terrible like hardships in life with strength, with flexibility, and with grace, like a willow tree. So that is where we're helping advisors to be that for their clients, right? And really to kind of financially empower all of those who historically have been underserved by the financial industry. But as we look forward, they're the new face of wealth, right? And they really are controlling increasing amounts of money. They are the breadwinners in the majority of affluent homes in the country. And they are, you know, they really need to have their needs met. And that requires like a new approach that advisors need help in being able to provide that, you know.
Well, first, I'm sorry to hear about the passing of your mother. Thanks. But how special to be able to dedicate this month to her. So yes. That's very special. And I think, you're so right. If you think about the empowering aspect, and it sounds like this has been a very personal journey for you.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned certifications, and I would love to dig into that a little bit. Will you tell us a little bit about the certifications that Willow has created and maybe what you're trying to teach financial advisors or what the different components are? And so share with our listeners today a little bit more about what aspects and components are comprising those certifications.
Definitely, Julie. So Willow offers two certifications for financial advisors. One is Certified Advisor for Women, and one is Certified Advisor for Next Gen. And really, we are doing this in partnership. We're an approved CE credit sponsor with the CFP board and with the Investments and Wealth Institute. And so as advisors go through our certifications, they can earn CE credits towards those designations. This is not a designation. It is really a certificate program which allows advisors, and I'll get into the specifics that you asked, exactly what they're learning through the program, but really enables us to train them and fine-tune their skills of those who are already really, really good at you know, sort of serving women or serving next-gen clients, but also for us to vet them and us to certify that they are uniquely qualified and that they are trusted advisors to women or to Gen X, Millennial, and Gen Z investors who are looking for something different or looking for integrated behavioral coaching or looking for real kind of partnership and a personal connection with their advisor. So, you know, what advisors gain. So there are many advisors out there who really want to better serve women or want to better connect with the heirs and then the next generation, but they simply don't know how to do it, or they're trying to do it, but some things necessarily aren't working. And so what we're really, the focus of the training and the curriculum is on helping them to do just that. It's also, by the way, great for advisors who are seasoned and really good at it, but they just are kind of fine tuning and making sure to sharpen their skills and keeping them like up with the latest and the greatest and the best knowledge. So through the certification, we have 3 hours of on-demand CE training really focused around first integrating coaching into your practice. We know that 58% of all women in next gen, this is through Fidelity's like latest research, you know, 85% of all these next generation investors are really looking for behavioral coaching, some form of behavioral coaching from their advisor who helps to keep them accountable and keep them from making mistakes or for procrastinating or not taking really control and charge and ownership of their financial decisions and their finances in the way that they should to set themselves up for not only a successful life, but a successful kind of retirement and legacy. We also have curriculum, if it's in the women's program, it's really how to properly connect with on a deep and personal level with women investors. How do you properly market to them? How do you kind of really kick off that relationship? But then how do you support them through life transitions and events such as divorce, such as widowhood, such as things like fertility treatments or adoption or surrogacy, which are things that most advisors would never even think of. But these are really critical and important to women clients who are experiencing or going through those life events or life journeys or entrepreneurship. On the next gen, you know, it's a similar track, but we are here talking about Women's History Month. So I want to focus on that. So giving them that understanding and those skills, and also through this really helping, communication is so key with these clients. It's being able to connect with them on a personal level, being able to, how do you properly not only communicate with them through your online bio and your presence and your social media, but then how are you really engaging them in a collaborative relationship that through all of your communications with them. So that's a big focus also of what advisors are getting out of, you know, getting out of the certification program.
So it sounds as if this isn't just a few letters after one's last name on a business card. This is really an all-encompassing program that teaches many skills and that ultimately changes behavior and how an advisor or financial professional interacts with clients at the end of the day. That's very exciting.
Well said, Julian.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's a yes. And it's like, you know, such, we all know obviously that changes in the market require a new approach to investing. And what this is helping advisors is not only to gain the mindset around the fact that changes in demographics require a new approach to how we are engaging clients, but also then to be able to deliver on that new approach and that new, you know, way of communicating and really educating and empowering their clients.
That makes sense. When you think about some of these topics that you mentioned, how have you gathered that feedback to build that into your curriculum? Has it been through surveys? Has it been through, speaking with advisors across the country? Has it been through just, you know, your and your team's experience? I'm curious because those were really interesting examples that you don't necessarily hear about every day in financial services. I would love to know a little bit more about how you've pinpointed some of those kind of life's key moments, if you will, that you mentioned a few moments ago.
It's a great question, Julie. And it's a combination of sources. First, obviously, the data tells us, you know, we could quote Hartford Funds or countless other, you know, reputable sources. Certainly through the Willow team collectively, we all have decades of experience of working with women investors, our day-to-day conversations with and work with advisors, thousands of advisors, thousands of women clients. You know, I was thinking through, you know, because one of the things that you hear out there about why women, you know, the two things that women really are looking for from their advisors above all else, and this is, I think, was first articulated through Cerulean Associates a couple of years ago in a survey, but we see this all the time, is that they're really looking for trust and a personal relationship. And you often hear, mm-hmm. I left him because he didn't get me, or I left my advisor because they just didn't understand me. They just didn't get me. And one anecdote from a recent conversation with a woman investor who we were then matching with an advisor, she was telling us, you know, I have this advisor and I'm really trying to connect, but he just couldn't understand how I had taken this new job and I had to spend all this money on a new wardrobe because I took this executive leadership position and I had to be able to represent, but it was sort of like, this is not the right way to be spending your money right now. And it was sort of on this, I think, something that you could probably understand, and not saying that men can't understand, because a lot of men can understand, but this was really an example of, she was like, I need somebody who can get that, who can really understand that and not like sort of judge me but this is actually a very justifiable use of my dollars and like sort of investment in my career. So that's just a little anecdotal example. So certainly through, you know, third-party data, through our firsthand research, through our decades of work with women investors and with advisors is really how we have put together the curriculum and how our coaches are really kind of helping advisors to really understand where the pain points are, to have true self-awareness and like remove any blind spots, and really to be able to integrate coaching and integrate sort of this personalized way of deeply connecting with clients.
I love that. That makes so much sense. And, you know, it's interesting. I think we see a lot of headlines and we hear a lot of statistics thrown around, but maybe in honor of Women's History Month, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more directly, that, you know, it seems like a lot of women aren't happy with their advisor. Could you talk to us a little bit about that and maybe what some of your observations are and how Willow has helped with that dynamic?
No, definitely. I think that, you know, there's sort of now well known across the industry, not necessarily sort of sure on the latest sources, but this understanding that about 73% of women are dissatisfied with financial services and their relationship with their advisor, and that about 70 or 80 in some, according to some sources, women will leave their advisor after the passing of their spouse or after divorce. And then the main reason Cerulean, you know, pointed to that it was trust or lack of trust or lack of a personal relationship. And we hear all the time that they just didn't get me. They didn't get me. I didn't feel like I could really trust them. I didn't feel like they really cared about me. It was like about my assets. It wasn't about me or like, you know, so from so many female breadwinners or women who are in a, you know, heterosexual marriage, but they walk in and they're the one who has the money, who's making the decisions, and they feel talked down to. They don't feel like they're even looked at or included. And we say these things, you know, we say it all the time. Some of these things may seem like common sense, but they're just not common practice. Mm-hmm. And I worked with countless advisors who are so well-intentioned and who are great advisors, and they're not aware of these things that they're doing that are alienating, you know, and they're not trying to do them, but they're just not aware of them. And so part of this is like really kind of taking a deep look, like look at your, like think about your portfolio, think about the relationships that you have, you know, do you have a real relationship? I mean, can you answer a couple questions? Do you know what's important to her? Do you know like what her goals are, and not just her financial goals, but like what are her life goals? Like, is she, do you get her the same way you get him? You know, because if you've got, you know, a woman, a relationship with a couple, and there's a good chance that he is going to pass away before she does. Like, if you can't answer those questions today, you're not going to be able to hold on to those assets. You know, you're going to lose that relationship with her. And so these are the things that it's important as you think about future-proofing your business or succession planning, that you be able to answer those questions. And if you can't answer them today, that's okay. Like that's why there Willow exists, right? That's why there are other kind of sources to help you to be able to do that, right? And it's that first self-awareness of like, I have to figure out how to do this better, do this differently, and do this better is already a step in the direction of success.
Have you found with the financial professionals that have engaged with you that their minds have been very open to talking about this and to sort of changing maybe some of the habits that they've formed through the years that maybe they didn't even realize were bad habits in terms of maybe never making eye contact with the female in the relationship or not understanding her hobbies? Have you really found that there have been coachable moments and that they've been able to change some of these, you know, processes or behaviors and really engage in more deep conversations and build really meaningful long-term conversations with the females in their practice?
Yeah. So I have been doing this for 4.5 years, and there are more of those moments today than there were in the beginning. You know, I think in the beginning, certainly there was, oh, this is so great that you're doing this. Like, oh, that's great. We have wonderful client relationships, you know, with all the women. And then I'd start asking questions.
It's everybody else's.
Yeah, I totally. And like, oh, that's so nice, but I don't really need this help. I mean, it's not an issue for me, right? You know, there was certainly a lot of that. We had a lot of people like, oh, you know, this is so great. This is actually going to help a lot of men connect. But then why are all the women advisors signing up to work with you, right? Because they were like, oh, we totally get this, right? So those sort of early days. But I will say that there have become many more. And over the years, there have been those teachable moments. I still remember one of the top producers at a very large wirehouse that I will not mention, you know, by name, but he sort of took the call as a favor to an investor, you know, who was a significant client of his. And he was like, this is great. This is really great. This sounds great. We have amazing relationships. And he's like, I printed out our top 50 client list. And he had a team of, you know, I think about 10 men on the call, by the way, too. And he's like, you know, I'm just going to go through here and like confirm. And he was like, yep, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And then he was like, oh, well, he's like, you know, I don't know exactly what Lori does. I don't know what, I don't. And he was like, it was like this humbling moment. He was like, maybe you're onto something. He's like, maybe you're onto something. Cause does anybody else know? Like, nope. You know? And it was, so there is, I think that if you take that moment to just like really think long and hard, like, do you have that personal, cause if you're not playing, say maybe you have a lot of your practice is around playing golf with your buddy, right? And this is different, right? This is, and it doesn't mean you're going to get it 100% like right off the bat, but now guess what? There's so many proven frameworks and there's like we can help you to make sure that you can build that relationship, you know, because a lot of times I know advisors will come to me and they're like, I've tried everything. She has no interest. She won't meet with me. Like this is, and I'm like, well, let's just like look at what you're doing and let's think through maybe there's a different way to approach it. And they're like, fast forward. Wow. Like, yeah, now I have figured out how to actually build a relationship and she is talking, you know, to me and we are building trust. So I think that that's, you know, that kind of being self-aware about it. And then now there's so many resources to help you to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
If for our listeners that are sitting here thinking, you know, I think I have pretty good relationships, but now Lacey is making me question that. Are there a couple of exercises or questions that you would typically guide an advisor to maybe start reflecting on or asking themselves about some of the women or next generation clients in their practice, just as a litmus test to begin to maybe assess the stickiness of those relationships or the depth of how well they know their clients, just to begin to see, you know, do they on a scale of 1 to 10, do I know them at a 2.5 or do I know them at a 9.5?
No, I think excellent question. I would start with the next generation. So the advisors who are successful, we work with some advisors who retain pretty much all of the 90-95 plus retention rate with the next generation. That is the opposite of what we find in the industry, that I think about 80% of heirs leave their advisors pretty immediately after receiving their inheritance. Mm-hmm. And those advisors, they're building a relationship from day one. And in some cases, we know one advisor who has set up sort of a, not a daycare per se, but like an area in his office for children. And he said, basically from day, I want, as soon as the children are born, I want them to know that I am supporting the family and they are our client, right? So from early elementary school kind of education through high school, through college, they are engaging, they are having conversations, they are supporting. And I know oftentimes, sometimes the parents, you know, you may need to communicate with them about that importance and kind of get them comfortable, because sometimes parents don't necessarily want you communicating with their children, but there's really effective ways that you actually can do that. And then we find if you build that relationship, you know, with the next generation from a younger age, then your likelihood of retaining them is incredibly, incredibly high. And what happens on the flip side is when you don't reach out until they're older or till like their parents pass, it's too late. You know, it's too late. So I think that to your question about look at that list. Mm-hmm. Do you know the names of all the children? Do you know where they go to school? Do you know that they're into, like, are you inviting them into your office? Are you doing workshops for them? Are you engaging with them? Because if you're not, you should be. And you should be, you know, you should be figuring out how to do that now. And similarly, as I think I sort of touched on a little bit, but just to expand with women, it's like similarly, print out that list, take a look at it. It's not just the wives, but it's what if they're business partners? Is it a sister? Is it their daughter? Like, you know, do you have, because women are the double inheritors here, right? We hit them in the women's category, but we also hit them in the hit them is not the right term, but we engage, you know, they represent both the women category, but also that next generation. And so similarly, like if you do a full, do an assessment. And I think that most advisors, the vast majority, if they're really honest, that's probably less than half that you have, you know, a real like relationship with, that if you were to ask yourself the question, if he passed, would she stay with me?
Right.
If they got divorced, would my practice, maybe perhaps not me personally, but my firm, if it makes sense, be able to retain her? You know, and I think a lot of times, more often than not, the answer is no. But so if you're on that low end, then it's time to start figuring out how to better engage and how to make sure you have those trusted relationships. Because we all know, been in the business for a long time, it's a lot easier to keep a client. You know, the best client to grow business with is the client that you already have, right? And I think just, you know, some of that data from McKinsey and Co., this wealth transfer that we hear about, that we know about like all the time, but that, you know, that $59 trillion that's passing down to women and heirs in the next, call it decade, by 2030, $30 trillion of it will be controlled by women, just by women. And so if advisors simply focus on retaining those women as clients, they're going to see one third as high revenue growth. And those who kind of then focus on bringing in women who are younger, you know, women in that next gen category, they're going to see four times faster revenue growth. So, but a lot of it's starting with your own client list and your own, their families and their networks. So, and we will talk also, because of a lot of what we do then is help advisors to engage and bring in new clients online, right? Because today that's where so many clients are looking for their advisor and are, you know, looking for trusted kind of vetting of advisors online. But before we get to that piece, it's just like, look at your own book.
Well, that all makes perfect sense. And yeah. We can't thank you enough for joining us here today to share those ideas and best practices on connecting with women and the next generation of clients, and especially in honor of Women's History Month. But in order to connect a little bit better with you, we do something special here on the Human-Centric Investing Podcast called the Lightning Round to get to know you, Lacey, as the person a little bit better. So if you're willing, I would love to ask you a few questions. So if you're willing to dive in, should we kick things off here?
Ready to go.
Okay. So my favorite one, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good of a driver are you?
Oh, I'm a Massachusetts driver, so I don't know. You could go 4 to 6 in there.
See, I don't know anything about that as a Seattle girl. So.
Let's just put it this way. We're aggressive, but we get it done.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. See, I learn something new every day.
So depending upon, sometimes you put me at a 10, you know, but other times not so much.
What's your favorite holiday?
Oh my goodness. What a wonderful question. I just love every holiday for starters. I'm such a traditional and I'm such a holiday person. So just the traditions and being with family. So that's really tough. I don't like, you know, the last couple of years it would be Christmas because I have now a 10-year-old son who still believes in Santa Claus. I think we're probably at the end of it soon, you know, but I will say, you know, so that was probably, it's just been so magical because, yes, you know, especially with holidays, getting to relive them. If you have children or nieces or nephews or just friends, and it's the spirit, the magic, magic, you know, of the holidays, yes, is really wonderful. Yeah.
That's amazing. What's the best age?
Every age.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I've never had anybody answer that.
Like, I haven't met an age that didn't have a lot of upside to it. Let's put it that way.
Love it. Okay. Dogs or cats?
Dogs. Okay. Big dog lover.
There we go.
And there's a story that we won't share, but I guess I haven't been so great with cats.
Oh, okay.
But cats are wonderful. Cats are wonderful. I love cats very much. Friends, cats from afar.
I'm not an animal person. I don't know if they have hooves or paws or what. Yeah. So anyway, yeah.
You know, anecdotally, like one of the biggest things that we match advisors with clients on is actually dogs, like dog lovers.
Oh,
like
really?
we're kind of this, you know, we seem to like to stick together.
Yeah. Oh, well, that makes sense. I mean, people do love their dogs. I just,
They do.
I'm a germaphobe. So it's just too much stuff going on for me. So
yeah, I got it.
What's the ideal outside temperature?
Ooh, I like it when it's, you know, when it's more, I like it when it's warmer, even though I'm a big skier, but I definitely like it when it's warmer. And, you know, it would be either a hot, sunny day when you're out on the ocean or kind of on the beach. Although this morning we were, you know, we're Massachusetts. I'm based in Boston, and the spring we had sort of got up there a little bit at this time of year. And it was really quite lovely to be able to sit outside without a jacket on, you know, and have the warmth, definitely warmth in the temperature, I'd say.
when it's warm in your bones. I love that.
Exactly. When it's warm in your bones. I love that.
Are you a fan of a paper to-do list or a digital one?
Oh, I just love to-do lists and I have them all. I got the one in my head constantly because my brain never shuts off whatsoever. And then that's probably my favorite to-do list. Mm-hmm. And I write it down and I text it to myself and I've got it alerting. But probably my favorite one is actually none of the above. It's probably the racing thoughts in my head.
You know that you can't turn off and then at 2 a.m. Yes,
exactly. It never fails me.
It's a problem, isn't it? Would you rather binge watch a TV show or watch a movie?
Binge watch a series, really good series, because it's like the movie that keeps going, you know?
And then the next episode just autoplays. Yes. Isn't that fun?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
The joys of modern technology.
I know.
Do you prefer a beach house or a lake house?
Beach. I'm an ocean girl. That's an easy one.
Do you prefer to shop online or go to a store?
You know, it's online these days. Mm-hmm. It's online, but there is something lovely about going to store every once in a while, but I just don't have enough time.
It's just hard to find the time. It's hard to find the time. Would you rather travel to the past or to the future?
Ooh, great question. I think I just really want to be, I think if I had a choice, I'd try to be more present in the present.
Mm. Wow, also a great answer. I love that. When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a fashion designer.
Oh, that's
I wanted to be a fashion designer, and then I was a skier, was a competitive freestyler skier. So there was a little bit of wanting to be the professional athlete. But yes. And then I wanted to be a teacher. And I started my career as a teacher. Never in any way, shape, or form knew that I would end up in financial services or have the amount of joy and the wonderful career that I've had. But yeah.
That is great. And finally, are you spontaneous or are you a planner?
Oh, you know what? I am both. I am a big planner. I never stop planning. And then at the same time, I'm incredibly spontaneous. So,
that's interesting to be both.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, I'm definitely both. I'm definitely both. So I guess it makes for not a dull moment.
I was going to say, that must be exciting.
Or chaotic.
That too. Well, Lacey, again, thank you so much for joining us today on the Human-Centric Investing Podcast. And for our listeners to learn more about Willow and their mission of helping advisors to better serve women and the next generation investors, please visit trustwillow.com. Lacey, thank you again for your time today.
Julie, thank you so much for having me on. It's really been a pleasure to connect with you.
Thanks for listening to the Hartford Funds Human-Centric Investing Podcast. If you'd like to tune in for more episodes, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, or YouTube.
And if you'd like to be a guest and share your best ideas for transforming client relationships, email us at guestbooking@hartfordfunds.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Talk to you soon.
The views and opinions expressed herein are those of the guest, who is not affiliated with Hartford Funds.